Is that, you sure? Okay. Okay, so how's everybody doing? How many of you are here for the, there's one seat over there. Is that seat taken? I don't think so. Just have a seat. Wherever you see a seat, just sit down. And we're getting more chairs in the back. I saw some guys out here. I'm going to tell them to help us. Guys, can you help us with getting seats in here? We're running out of seats. Thank you. We're getting it out of 103 into here, just in the back. Thank you. Okay, so how many? We're getting more seats. Now we hold the ones with them big muscles.
Yeah.
How many of you are here for the first time at Girlfriends today? This is your Girlfriends first time? Wow, welcome. Okay, well, welcome back. Yeah, this is kind of a little bit crazy here. Yeah, last week was Stu. And who else is here for the first time? And you, welcome. Who brought you? Okay, now you got to get five, girl. Who else is here for the first time? Who?
God.
Go, God. Welcome, welcome. And you, welcome to Girlfriends. Anybody on this side for the first time here today? You are welcome. Welcome. Awesome. Okay, let's see. We're going to bring in more seats. Come on. We're bringing in more seats. Okay, there's one seat. Oh. One seat here, girls. Two seats. One per row. Who wants to come up? Go ahead and sit here.
Can I have a seat?
Oh, there's a whole... Okay. All right. Well, this is going to be a good summer. And just again, to reiterate for those of you who maybe it's your first, second, or you kind of new to Girlfriends, this is our Summer in the Sun, our breakout sessions that we're going to, for the next, including this week, five more weeks, things are looking a little different here. And this is our fun time. We're going to do fun things. We're going to eat. We're going to laugh. We're going to cry. It's a little bit out of the ordinary. You get to hear speakers you don't get to hear usually during the year and, honed in topics. So you pick this, and we are so happy to have you here this morning. And you can just buckle your seatbelt because you are in for a ride. And you are very courageous in this class because we're going to get in your business. We are going to mess with your stuff. We're going to get in your heads a little bit, and we're going to challenge you. And our goal is to invite the Holy Spirit and with the help of God and some new information that you will walk out of this today, but especially over the next 6 weeks, knowing that for the rest of your life, you are not going to forget this summer. Because you're going to learn some things you didn't know. You're going to do some things you haven't done before. And some good things are going to happen. And now remember, it is all about faith. We are not here to say we're going to teach you a book. We're going to teach you information in order to receive. And this is even backed up in this scientific studies we're going to share with you this in this class. It is backed up by the fact they don't tell you, secular books don't tell you to believe. But there has to be the element of the heart in there. And it's the word of God for you. Come on in. In the back, there are seats. For you to receive candy. I wonder if you want to just, man, woman this door on the outside. For you to receive anything these 6 weeks, you're going to have to believe God for it. You're going to have to make room in your heart. I just talked to somebody yesterday talking about change, and she was so honest with me how uncomfortable she was even talking about some things in her life, thinking she needs to change. It was like a mountain in front of her. This class is not about change, but it is about you understanding how your brain really works and how it connects with the Word of God. Okay? And how good things, how to set yourself up for success. How to set yourself up to reach the goals that you want to reach. So we are, with this, inviting you to this journey. I tell you what, myself and the other two speakers, we are on this journey with you. okay? We are jumping on board, and we are on this journey, and we invite you to go with us and see where God will take us today. So I'm just going to do a little introduction. What we're going to do today, I'm just going to introduce everybody, and then they're going to come up, and everybody is going to do a portion of the lesson today, and then I'm going to wrap it up at the end, and we're going to leave here with a challenge. So, habits are extremely powerful. Your habits are so powerful, you may not, habits are things you do without even thinking about it. Okay, and we're going to talk about how they are formed and the power. All I want to say right now, extremely powerful. Your habits, you have habits in your life that you are not even aware of that you have, but those are taking you places. It's determining where you're going to be a month from now, where you're going to be a year from now. What is it that you do on a daily basis? What are your rituals and habits? Do you know what they are? How do they affect your destiny and your quality of life? Okay? We're going to challenge you during this time to be honest. From the get-go, just open your heart. I'm going to pray with you right now. We're going to be honest. We're not going to ever put you on the spot. We're not going to expect of you to share what God is sharing with you with someone else. I highly recommend that you get a notebook. If you don't have one, we sell them in the bookstore afterwards. Write down some things during this time because you're going to go home and reflect on some things. So get ready to be honest. Pray and ask God to show you these things. How many of you need a God moment? That is it's like an aha. It's a spiritual moment where you just understand something you didn't understand before. Okay? God is going to change. He's going to redeem. He's going to heal. And he's going to renew you during this summer. We want you to go home with a vision, with hope, with a plan, and a task. Something that we're going to help you that you're going to have to go do, okay? It is not only informational, but this is a transformational session. Word of God is like that. Word of God transforms you. So here are the rules. And then I'm going to introduce the girls to you. Rules for this session. Number one, it is about you and about no one else. If you're going to project what we're talking about on someone else, how many of you sit in church many times or in a class like this and somebody says something and you know immediately who that is for? Yes. You already thought that, right? Darn, if this friend of mine could just be here. Or, this is for my sister. This is for my... Hello? Come back. This is for you. It is about you. Do yourself the biggest favor and make this a God time with just you and God. You have no control over anybody else's habits. You are girls. I know you think you do. You think you can control the habits of your husbands and everybody else. Just quit. Just stop. You can't. You will hurt yourself trying. You cannot change anybody else. Rule number one, this is about you and God and no one else. Rule number two, be honest with yourself. Rule number three, you are safe. You are safe here. Okay, we're not going to judge you. We're not going to jump on you. We are inviting you to take off the mask. You know what's the mask? Okay, hello. Yeah. If you didn't know that, we want to tell you. When you come to church many times, you put on that little... Good. I'm fine. And when you go home, you're like, why did you just do it? Why did you just say that? You are always like this, and we carry on. It's a little mask. So, girls, just take it off. This is a class, you can take it off. Number four, faith in action. You're going to have to believe. If you not believe, this is not going to help you, okay? Use the capacities. We're going to teach you the capacity of a habit, how powerful that is and how to use that to work for you in your life and not against you. And then the last one, see results in your life. You're going to see some results, okay? So these are the rules. It's you and God. Be honest. You are safe. Faith in action, and you are going to see. So, you on board on the journey with us? Let's pray. God, we need you. God, we are running around here on earth. We are carrying on. We are manifesting. We're acting out. We get angry. We get upset. We get happy. We laugh. We cry. God, but none of this has any meaning if we don't invite you into our lives and in our world. So we just say, Lord, we just want to get on board with you this summer. I ask that you just see every heart of every woman crying out in this place, because there's a spot that they know in their lives that they need a miracle, that they need a touch. So Holy Spirit, come. We invite you to be the hero in this class. We invite you, we open our hearts, and we say, God, we believe in your word. We believe that you have a plan for us to prosper us, and we are going to take it. This is the day, God. Each one of us in this room is going to take it and say, yes, this is for me. So we get on board with you, Holy Spirit. What you are going to do, I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone in this class. I pray that you will take us from here on out and just bring to our hearts what is your heart for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So I'm going to introduce the first person is, let me just introduce the second one and then the first one come up. Teresa, we introduced her to you. Teresa in the back, she's been a part of the house here at The Rock for how many years? 14 years. She's a high school chemistry teacher, so she knows the chemistry. These are the scientists in the house, and except me, of course. I'm here to balance them out, you know. But she's an amazing woman of God. She's also the director of the Singles Ministry. She loves God. She has a master's degree in theology. She studied at Regent University. Loves God, and we know that God has an appointment with her this summer to speak to us. And then we have our doctor in the house, Dr. Vanessa Reynolds. And she's going to come up and start us out with her piece of this. Dr. Vanessa has been a part of The Rock for many, many years. Her and her husband involved in the marriage ministry and have amazing children. Her son is one of those handsome boys up there singing in the worship team, with Jared, with an amazing voice. That's her son. And she has been an emergency room physician for 15 years at least of her life. She is now retired. She just adopted, beside her three children, she adopted two little ones. So, hats off to you. She is an amazing woman. She loves God. She does not, you know, it's the word of God or it's nothing for her. And we just love you and appreciate you. And come on and just share with us what God has for you. So, if you just clip this one on. Just let's do it. Where do you want it?
What's maybe the best up place? Here. I might have a hot flush. I have to take this off.
Okay. You get a hot flush? How many in the rooms with her? Hot flushes? Oh, this is my stuff.
Get your stuff.
Seriously. That's much stuff.
So me and Teresa were laughing, saying, wow, it's such a good turnout, and we got to bring in extra chairs. Now, if no one shows up next week, we're not going to take it personally. Actually, I can't see you and read, but habits. And obviously, it's so packed out because you think you have some. But I bet that you have a lot more that you haven't even realized that you're doing. And these things are keeping you from fulfilling the full purpose and plan of God's life for you. You know, he comes that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And you've just gotten in these habits that you don't even realize. And it's keeping you from God's full purpose. And so hopefully, by the end of this 6 weeks, you are going to have set some goals. And at the end, you're going to have achieved your goals. And it's going to just change your life. You're going to remember the summer of 2012 and summer in the sun. Okay? So a habit is something that, you know, you do and you don't think about. Right? We read a book about habits, and they talked about a guy named Eugene Pauly. And he was a man who got sick, and he got an infection around his brain. It was around his brain and his spinal column called encephalitis. And once he was healed from this infection, but when he got healed and he went home, his wife noticed that he couldn't remember. It was 1973 when he got sick, and he couldn't remember anything closer than 1960. He remembered growing up and his brothers and his sisters up to 1960, and then he could remember nothing. And then when they would try to teach him new things, he couldn't remember those either, right? So what she first noticed when she took him to the specialist, that he would do the same thing. Like, he would get up in the morning, he would make some eggs, he'd fiddle with the radio, and he'd get back in the bed. And an hour later, he'd get up, he'd go make some A's, he'd sit with the radio, he'd get back into bed. And he would ask repetitive questions, like, or say repetitive things, like, oh, I used to do that. And then he'd be like, oh, I used to do that. You know, and then as the conversation went on, he would repeat himself because he couldn't remember, right? So she took him to some specialists that happened to be, have done some studies on habits. And what they found as they studied him was, if they asked him, for instance, to draw a picture of his house, like where's the kitchen, where's your bedroom, where's your living room, he couldn't do it because he couldn't remember. But when he got hungry, he'd get up, he'd go to the kitchen, and he'd get a jar of nuts and he'd snack. And they're like, how did you know how to do that? And he's like, I don't know. He's like, so show me where the kitchen is? I don't know. But as soon as he felt a hunger pain, he'd get up, he'd go in the kitchen, he'd get the jar of nuts, and he'd eat. So his mind had created a habit. He couldn't remember anything. But because of that habit, he knew where the kitchen was. He'd go on a walk, and they were afraid he was going to get lost. They'd take him in the neighborhood somewhere, and every time he'd come back home. And you ask him to draw a map or look on a map where his house was, he couldn't tell you because he couldn't remember. But he knew how to get home because he always took the same path, and it had been a habit. So your conscious memory, does that make sense? So as far as his conscious memory, he couldn't remember, but he was still able to do things. And so there are habits that we do, like they did studies on mice where they put a mouse in a, they put a little thing in the brain so they could see what the mouse was doing. And then they put them in a maze and they put a treat at the end of the maze. And so initially all the brain things were all firing and the mouse was sniffing at every corner trying to see which way to go to get the treat, right? And then he got faster and faster. And then he stopped sniffing and then he would just go, really zipping along. First it took him a long time, right? He's like, is it over there? No, I'm gonna go this way. And he'd sniff and he'd go and he'd sniff and he'd go and he'd sniff and he'd go. And but once he had formed this habit, then he could just do it. So what they found that where there was a little section of the brain called the basal ganglia, and that's a big word, and it just means it's a little piece of tissue in the center of your brain, and that's the only thing that kept firing in these mice. And the basal ganglia is where we form these habits. Okay? And so, you know, so when we, too, anything you learn for the first time, like, you don't think about driving right now, you know, or backing out of your garage. When I just taught my son a year ago how to drive, and, you know, we're like, okay, you sit there, okay, fasten your seatbelt, adjust the rearview mirror, look at the side mirrors, make sure no kids around. Okay, now ease off the brake a little bit. Oh, no, don't go slow and back out. And now cut your wheel. Okay, not that much. You're going to hit the edge, cut it again. You don't do that every time, do you? You just get in the car and you back up and you go, right? And because it's a habit. You didn't spend much time thinking about whether to put on your right shoe first or your left shoe first this morning, did you? Because your brain tries to create habits to free up your mind so that you can write books and build airplanes and you write music and do all the creative things that we need to create medicines to heal the sick and this kind of thing, right? So whenever it sees that you're doing the same thing over and over again, neurologic pathways will form and you have created a habit. So you can see how if you say, oh, I am going to exercise when I come home from work. This is January 1st. I got a gym membership and I'm about to go. So and you come in and you do it for a little bit and you stop. What you don't realize is when you get in and you take off your work clothes and you're tired that day, so you plop on the couch and grab the remote, okay? And you're like, okay, I'm going to do it tomorrow. But the cue is, as soon as I come in, I take off my work clothes, my body just goes to the sofa and grabs the remote. Like, dang, I wanted to exercise today. Tomorrow I'm going to do it. I come home, I'm tired. I take off my work clothes. I plop on the sofa. I grab the remote. Why do I keep doing this, right? And so you're like, no, I'm going to go. You know? And what it is that there is a cue and there is a reward and the habit is what's in between. Okay? So, for instance, maybe walking in that front door tired and taking off your clothes is the cue that your body receives to go sit on the sofa and grab the remote. So you have to, with that same cue, you have to change what's in between. You have to say, why do I sit on the sofa and grab the remote? Because I'm tired, because my body is fatigued, and I want to feel relaxed. Okay, so if I need to take to aim for relaxation, and my cue is getting home from work tired and taking off my clothes. Okay, so if I come home tired and I take off my clothes, instead of going to the sofa, I need to create another thing to do so I don't grab the remote. So instead of taking off my clothes, my new thing is now take off my clothes, put on my gym clothes, and walk out the door. Okay, and if you do that for, I think it's 28 days, you have created a new habit. And your reward for the relaxation that you crave may be getting in the jacuzzi after you work out and just letting your mind wind down and relax instead of sitting on the TV and getting a remote, right? And so with the word of God, you know, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. You got the greater one on the inside of you, right? Satan is trying to kill, steal, and destroy, but no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. So knowing the habits and with the word of God, you can change these patterns that you don't like, right? And there was a study, you know, the main way to change a habit is because willpower. Some days you have willpower, some days you don't. What's the difference, you know? Well, willpower is like a muscle that we build. Okay, you know, when you first work out, and you know, we've been walking, trying to walk Mount Rubidoux and Riverside, and so you know how the first time you work out, maybe you'll get halfway up the mountain, and then by the end of the summer, you're going the whole way, and then you're going faster. You may put weights on if you make that a habit and you keep going, right? Willpower can be increased, and they found that if you increase your willpower in one area, it spills over to other areas. So if you can create a new habit for, you know, we're just using eating as an example, or working out as an example, it'll spill over. So now you're going to the gym instead of sitting on the sofa and grabbing the remote. That'll spill over to now you're having less outbursts of anger. Now you're smoking less cigarettes or whatever other habits it spills over, willpower grows. Okay? So they did this study, which I just wanted to share. I only have 10 minutes to share with you, so I'm winding. I keep going. Okay. I planned on 10 minutes, okay? So they did this study, which I thought is just fascinating, where they took, I forgot how many people, let's say 50 people, right? And they put them in a room with warm chocolate chip cookies, okay, sitting on a platter, straight out the oven, just smelling up the room, and a platter of radishes, okay? So they told half the people, you're in here 20 minutes, eat what you want. Of course, they gobbled up those chocolate. They were gooey, just pulling apart. Can you see them? Smelling good, the moist kind that just you can't even fall in before you can get it to your mouth. Just got to, And you need just a milk chaser for that? Okay, so you see why I need my willpower, right? And then they told the other half of people, you cannot eat the chocolate chip cookies. You're in here for 20 minutes. You can only eat the radishes, okay? They had a camera in the room. So the radish people, the chocolate chip cookie people, obviously they had no problems, and they didn't touch the radishes. Have you tasted a radish? A little bitter, unless you dip it in a whole lot of... Okay, so the radish people, they'd go over, they'd smell the cookies, they'd walk away, they eat a radish with a frown or whatever. They maybe picked up a cookie, put it back, licked the chocolate off their fingers, you know, just thinking about how nice it would be to eat this warm cookie. And then, as soon as they were done with this experiment, they gave them a task to do. So they drew a maze on a paper, and they gave both the chocolate chip people and the radish people this maze, and they told them, put your pencil on one spot and try to go through this maze, not backing over any line, to the end, right? And if you couldn't do it or you got frustrated, you could ring the bell and the exercise would stop, but you had 30 minutes to do it. Do you know that the chocolate chip cookie had no problems? They sat there. Some of them took 30 minutes. They were laughing. They were happy. They're like, what in the world? Oh, I went that way. And they back on up. The radish people were in there cussing. You know, they were like, this is a stupid behind experiment. I don't know why I got to sit here and do this. And they'd ring the bell after 5-10 minutes, like, I'm done. What is the point of this? You know, attitude, head bobbing, just mad. And so what they determine is that we only have a specific amount of willpower every day. So the radish people had already used up all their willpower trying not to eat those chocolate chip cookies. So when it came time to do a maze, they were like through, you know? Chocolate chip cookie people, their tummies were full. They hadn't used any, so they just sat there and did the task at hand, right? So how does this relate to us? So if you're at the job and say you work with preschoolers or some other stressful job where you're trying not to strangle a child or give your boss a piece of your mind, or you're a housewife and, you know, you just all these tasks and errands, you know, you do your list and you only get through the first five, and, you know, and then your husband may come home and say, "What have you done all day?" You're like, "Oh, no, he didn't." You know, and so your willpower is gone by then, right? So if you try to then exercise or fast, that wouldn't be the time to start your fast, you think? You know, or to do whatever, put energy into whatever habit you're trying to stop, it's gone, right? So knowing that, these things are what's going to help us to break the habits, whatever they are, in our lives. And, you know, it takes, with the Word of God and with this knowledge that there's a cue and there's a reward, and the in-between part is what we have to change. So you're going to have to self-evaluate and look at your life and think, I bet you haven't even thought about how many things you do just out of habit. And start, you know, thinking, like when you go to grab whatever, you go to get angry, you go, you know, why did I do it? You know, what cued me in to do that? You know, what has been going on in my life? And to really just, what this has helped me to do is just look at me. And, you know, now when I reach for something, I'm like, am I really hungry? Or do I need salt? Can I change these chips for this or whatever, you know? Do I need to relax? You know, there was a guy in the book, and he realized he had been, every day at 3 o'clock, he'd go buy a cookie, you know? And he's doing this, and he had gained like 8 to 10 pounds. His wife's like, you're getting a tire, you know, and you need to cut it on down. And he couldn't realize it, so he began to look and say, okay, what happens at 3 o'clock every day? Am I bored? You know, it's 2 hours, but am I bored? Am I actually hungry? Do I, because on the way to the cookie, he talked to his co-workers and everything, do I require a fellowship? So every day he changed it. Instead of buying the cookie, he'd go try to talk one day and not eat the cookie and see if he felt satisfied. Or he tried to just take a walk. Maybe I just needed to, you know, I'm bored or whatever. Until he found what it was that he actually craved, and then he could stop getting the cookie and substitute it. Okay? But you can't, you know that the most successful way to break habits is by using friends. And the most successful organizations that have helped people break habits are Alcoholics Anonymous with their 12-step program, right? Because as a group, you keep each other accountable. How about Weight Watchers? They've been around for centuries. You know, it may have worked for you, it may not have, but it works. Community works. And we, no man is an island. We need each other. And so Teresa is going to talk to us about community. Okay?
Programmed in our brains. Huh? You know, do I have to wear this?
Don't you both love to know the backstories about people?
Backstories?
You listen better if you know something about
somebody. Uh-oh.
What is that?
That could get dangerous. Pastor Owen, I think this is my 15 minutes. You can please have a seat. Pammy?
Do you mind just telling them, just mentioning your journey of...
Journey.
Of loss?
Of loss? What have I lost? Oh, 100 pounds?
Yeah. Oh, 100 pounds? 100
and...
Just tell them, because you know they're going to look
120 pounds?
How much time did you...
Long time.
Yeah, well, you weighed how much, the most in your life?
The most I weighed?
Ever?
310 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. Praise God.
So, a godly woman, and you've lost like over, way more than
120 pounds.
120. Now we all know what
you weigh. Yeah, do the math.
But, yeah, so
still working, obviously.
But amazing, that does give some weight to what you say.
All right. So, and it was a habit, but we'll tell you about that later on, which habit it was and how that weight loss program started. My first question, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked in the sanctuary, because Dr. Vanessa talked about willpower, right? So how many of you would say, hey, I have amazing willpower? When I decide something, it's as good as done. Where's all the hands? What? Oh my goodness, really? That's shocking. Yeah, I expected all of you to be like, hey, we've got all the secrets. But the truth is, do you know, Dr. Vanessa mentioned two organizations. The first one was Alcoholics Anonymous. Do you know that Alcoholics Anonymous has over 2 million members? People that have been involved in that organization because it has a good success rate. Do you know that Weight Watchers has 50,000 meetings worldwide a week? 50,000 different places people gather together. Why? Because it has a success rate, right? It's worked for people. So the truth is that when each one of us tries things on our own with our own willpower, at some point that willpower gets zapped. Well, we've all tried something and not had a success rate with it. And what these two organizations show us is that there's a community that kicks in, right? Alcoholics Anonymous or Weight Watchers are both based on community, people gathering together to talk about and do reach a goal at the same place, right? So what I want to do is I want you to open your Bibles. I know a lot of you brought them because girlfriends is a Bible study, to Exodus chapter 17. We're going to look here at a picture of God's plan. Exodus chapter 17, verse 11 is where we're going to start. Exodus chapter 17, verse 11 says this: as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Well, we've dropped into the Bible here in a story between the Israelites and the Amalekites. And Moses had told Joshua, go and fight, and I'm going to go up to the top of the hill. And Moses watched the battle from the top of the hill. And what Moses realized was that when he raised his hands, the Israelites would win. That was God's plan for the Israelites to win. But when he let his hands down, the Amalekites would win. Right? So this is an interesting situation, I think, that God shows us something here about community. Because Moses wanted the Israelites to win. He wanted to keep his hands up. It was God's will. He had tapped into God's plan and God's strategy, and that was keeping his hands up. But the truth is, for Moses to keep his hands up, that was against nature. Right? Normally, we don't walk around with our hands up, do we? Well, our hands are down. Gravity pulls our hands down. We walk and live with our hands down. This is normally how we do life, right? But sometimes when we, like Moses, know it's God's will, we want to change, we want to try something new, it requires us to put our hands up, but then we get what?
Tired.
That willpower gets zapped, right? We run out of the willpower. The hands go back to what's normal, what's natural, what we've learned how to do all our life, which is keep our hands down. Well, Moses was in the same position. He knew there was something good. There was a victory on the other side of his ability to keep his hands up. But the interesting thing here is that if we go back one verse, we see a secret. We see a key that God is showing us. So instead of going to verse 11, go back to verse 10. And in verse 10, it says that Moses, Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. When Moses went up to watch the battle, he didn't go alone. Right? Moses understood a principle in God's plan. He took with him people he could count on. Right? He took with him Aaron and Hur. And there was community there at the top of the hill. So with the community and God's plan, God's strategy for victory was Moses' ability to keep his hands up, to keep focused on that battle. Then we look at verse 12 and we see what happens. It says, when Moses' hands grew tired, they, Aaron and Hur, took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. And guess what happened? Yeah, the Israelites won. There was a victory that day because Moses was able to do what he needed to do for the victory because he had two people with him. He had community with him. They did what? They held his hands up, right? So there's a picture there for us that God didn't call any of us to do life alone. Amen. Right? God calls us into community. Whether we realize it or not, the people close to us form us. right? Maybe for the good, maybe for the bad, maybe a little of both. You've probably heard the saying, we are creatures of habit, right? Science has proved that we are creatures of habit. We do the same thing over and over and over again. And it's a very simple principle. There's a reason why we do that. Because everything in nature tends toward lowest energy. Right? You've probably seen this picture before. Hopefully one of these work. Right? There's a hill. You put a ball on the hill. What does it do? Goes up, right?
No.
Oh, you know it doesn't go up. No, the ball goes. Does it stop right here at this little bump?
No,
because it's gaining speed, right? And it goes down, and it goes down, and it goes down. Does it need help to do that? No, everything in nature tends toward lowest energy, right? And our habits, the way we do life, the way we grew up doing things, when we walk around with our hands down, that's lowest energy. We don't have to think about it. It's easy. Right? But for that ball to go up, what's going to have to happen?
Force.
That there has to be force. Somebody has to put energy into it. It needs some help, doesn't it? It needs some help to go the other way, right? And so we have to see that in our lives, we're programmed that way. We're programmed to choose the easiest path. But the truth is that change and victory don't come from the easiest path, do they? No, they don't. God himself doesn't even do life alone, right? God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a unity of love, in a bond of love, existing, coexisting as one. So that's our first example of community. That's our biblical foundation is God himself, right? In community. Go ahead and look at 1 Timothy 4:12. In 1 Timothy 4:12, we see Paul talking to Timothy, and he's telling him, let no man despise your youth. Here's the part I want to focus on. But be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. What's interesting to me there is to be an example to the believers. Paul tells Timothy, I want you to be an example. How was Timothy going to be an example? Was he going to, like, preach a message on television? Yes? Oh, I don't think there was, right? Was he going to podcast and teach everybody? No, via internet, Facebook friends, I'm being an example. No, the only way that Timothy could be an example was to do life with some people, to live, to rub shoulders, to be a personal example, right? The only way that Timothy could fulfill that was to be in community, to be together with other people. That's God's principle. That's God's way of sharing and doing life together. By living and serving together. We become like, I said this before, who we hang around.
Amen.
Right? We become like who we hang around. Think about a child. A child has the ability when they're born to learn anything. Right? If that child's born in Japan, what's he going to speak?
Japanese.
Right? Born in Russia, what's he going to speak?
Russian.
Right? Born in Southern California, what's he going to speak?
Valley.
Spanish, English, Thai, I don't know. Just depends on the house it's born in, right? Right? Who knows what it's going to speak? But it's going to speak something, right? Same child becomes like who it hangs around, right? That's the whole nurture argument in science, right? That we become, to some extent, genetics, but also our environment. And so Timothy was to be an example by creating an environment, right, of faith, hope, love, purity, an example in speech, because he was going to do life together with other people. Again, right there, God's plan of community. I think also about in Genesis, right? Right after Cain killed Abel, God spoke to Cain, right? And he said, Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And what did Cain say to God? Am I my brother's keeper? What is the answer to that question?
Yes.
Yes, you are your brother's keeper according to the word of God. So how? How do we keep? How can you keep? Look at the person next to you on your right. Look at the person on your left. How can you possibly keep them? Right? How can we possibly keep them? How? What is the practical application of that? Well, I've got lots of scriptures here, so I'm going to read them to you, because if I let you turn to all of them, my 10 minutes will be up. Well, it's almost up. Okay, so The first one is Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment. Here's the part. So that you will give you. Right, raise your hand if you're a you. Yeah. You will give grace to the hearer. Wait, what? I give grace? Yeah, you can give grace to the woman on your right and the woman on your left by the words that come out of your mouth according to the Word of God. And one of Pastor Debbie's definition of grace is God's power to do it. What is it? I forgot already. God's power in us to do what God's truth demands of us. So we have the ability to give grace to the people in our world for them to do what God has asked and called them to do. Right? Aaron and Hur brought grace to Moses' life by what? Helping him hold up his hands, right? So that he could do what God had called him to do. The other thing in Hebrews 10:24, it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. We can provoke the people around us to love and good works by the way we live, by the words that we share. So again, we see God's design. How do we keep our brother? By being there, right? By being present, by doing these things, by being an example to them. Hebrews 10:25. You might write the scriptures down. I know you don't have time to turn there. It says, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Right? We come together. You came together here to Girlfriends today, right? You came to receive something, but God is calling us to another level. He's saying encouraging one another. He's also called us, right, to keep and to be responsible for those around us by encouraging. So we come together with the goal of encouraging one another. The last scripture I want to share in here is when Jesus said, you know, he came to fulfill the Old Testament, right? He came to complete and fulfill the law. But he said, a new commandment I give you. Right? I'm telling you something new that wasn't in the Old Testament. What was the new commandment? That you love one another, right? Right? And we learned here that love is personal self-sacrifice, right? Giving of ourselves for the betterment of someone else, right? So we can't love theoretically. We can't love from home on our couch. We can't love, right, changing the remote. We can't even love mopping our floors. At least not the people in this room. We love our family that way, right? But to love one another in this community that God has called us to, Girlfriends, we have to be present. We have to be willing to do life together. I'm jumping through my notes here, watching the time, I promise. So we see community. This might reflect and this might explain to us why Alcoholics Anonymous, why Weight Watchers are so popular, right? Because it's with our words, it's with doing life together. There's a lot of power that God has placed in that. We can provoke one another. We can encourage one another. We can give grace to one another to do what we couldn't do alone. What we couldn't do by ourselves, right, if we do it in community. The first thing Jesus did was pull together a community when he started his ministry, right? He began to gather 12 individuals. And he said, come into this community. Those individuals didn't come from the same socioeconomic background. They didn't have the same professions. They didn't live the same way. They came from professions and places in society that actually hated each other. Fishermen and a tax collector, right? They didn't have, so maybe you look around and you say, I don't have a lot of common with these women. But they didn't have to have something in common. They had one thing in common, right? Jesus said, come, and they followed, right? They obeyed. God calls us to a life of obedience. They obeyed, and that was enough to create an amazing community. Imagine how that was. I'm sure they didn't agree on anything. They didn't like each other's habits. They probably didn't like the way they dressed, right? Their ideas. I'm sure Jesus had 12 opinions in that group. But over the next few years, they learned a whole new set of habits. They learned a new way of doing life. They learned a whole new way of living. Whatever they had learned in the past, much of that got changed, right? So they could live together. They learned how to live in community. Oh, and we're called to the same thing. We can learn to live in community. We can learn to be the grace givers to our neighbor. We can learn to be our brother's keeper by provoking them to love and good works. We can learn to let people close enough to us so that the fruit in our lives, they can eat of it. Mm-hmm. How amazing is that, right? We're not called to bear fruit just so we can hang on the tree and rot and fall to the ground, but so that others can enjoy that fruit, the fruit that God has called us to produce. So the disciples entered an adventure, right? An adventure that changed them forever. And our invitation for you over the next few weeks is to enter an adventure. An adventure of challenging yourself and looking at a habit, right? You've got two roles, as I see it, in this picture. You've got a Moses role and an Aaron role. Mm. The Moses role is Moses had been called to lift his hands. He tried all he could. He couldn't do it alone, but he tried. He did his best effort. He knew it was God's will and God's plan. You're going to learn and you're going to think even today about some habits that you may want to change. And we're going to talk about that over the next 5 weeks, right? But what I want to encourage you today is to be Aaron, right? Your Aaron role is to come and hold up somebody else's hands, right? And how do you hold up their hands? All right, you hold up their hands. I'm going to give you 3 quick tips and then turn this over to Pastor Eleanor. The first tip is that you need to be here. The most powerful thing you can do for somebody else is to be present, right? You are the most important part of community. Without you, there is no community. Okay? So first of all, be here. The second part is to care. How do we care for other people? By telling them our opinion? No, we care for other people by listening, right? We listen with ears that care. When you listen to somebody, you're letting someone lean on you. Right, just like Moses leaned on Aaron and Hur, right? We let people lean on us when we listen to us. And we also care by sharing our journey. If they're struggling, what are you struggling? If they have a victory, where's your victory? Right? Let's rejoice together. And the third thing I want to say, we be here, we care for one another, and encourage. We already have an accuser. There's already an accuser of rather than, and he has a slew of demons that are on his team telling you, you failed, you can't do this, why are you going to try again? This time isn't going to be any different. We don't need that. What we need are people to say, you can do it. Nothing is impossible. All things are possible for those who believe. God in you is greater, right? Those are the things that we need people to speak into us. And so those 3 things put together basically make you somebody that we can be accountable with. Right? That's what accountability, being present, listening, and encouraging. That's what we're called to do. So I challenge you to do that over the next 5 weeks, to make yourself available to be an Aaron and a Hur in somebody else's struggle, in the Moses journey in their life, right? And that's the reason that Alcoholics Anonymous still exists. That's the reason Weight Watchers has 50,000 meetings a week, because people are there to support, encourage, and let's do that for one another over the next few weeks.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, was that amazing?
Yes.
So good. You know, we have talked about all the sessions, and we are just really burning up with all the stuff we want to share with you. A lot of the things that you've heard them say, we are going to get into detail in the time to come. But the community that Teresa is talking about, that's God's plan. But you see what Alcohol Anonymous and all these other organizations that achieve success by gathering people for one goal has, through trial and error, found something that works. But in the body of Christ, we know that has been God's plan all along. It's just kind of science catching up with the truth of God. God's plan is that we do life together. That's what the church is all about. We are stronger together than alone. One of us put 1,000 to flight. Two of us put 2,000? 10,000. How do you like that kind of multiplication? Yes, so we want you to come back and let's continue from there. What we're going to do now, we're going to touch on a couple things, and I have a handout that I'm going to give you in a little bit, and I'm going to ask you just to start out by writing a couple things down before you go home. Everybody okay? You tired of sitting? Oh. You can talk. Okay, so Vanessa was talking about the habits and named some examples. We find that habits drive our lives, determines our future, and really predicts your destiny. For the lay people like me that are not the scientists, this is how I look at it. Somebody said it's like this. The brain is like an onion that's in layers. When you learn a new habit, it happens from the outside in. I mean, that helps me to envision it. And something new that you do in your short-term memory. So let's say, for the sake of understanding, your short-term memory is on the outer layers. And that is where decisions are. That is where intentions are. I am going to decide to walk that way when I want to walk that way. I say, no, I'm going to go this way. If she said hello to me, that happens in the here and now, in the outer layer of my brain. Okay? Now, the more I do it, it goes deeper and deeper and sinks down to the core of that word that she said was the what? Basal ganglia. I knew that. No. So that is where, when you make decisions and decisions become, you know, habitual, it, by the time it sinks down, I don't think anymore how to walk, how to put on my shoes. Have you even driven your car? You get to the house and you think, oh, how did I get here? Yeah. That is because the habits, what once, like she said, was once a decision, has now gone into the basal ganglia, which is also, this is interesting, that's the same place in the brain where addictions are. That is a tight spot. That is very tight and deep. Once something sinks down to that level, you do it with no thinking involved. So how cool is that if that's a good habit? How amazing is that? That was God's intention. Like they said, so we can use our outer layers of the here and now to do other stuff. Mm-hmm. But when it is bad habits and addictions that sink into that level, that is where we need a miracle. And this is what we are talking about. What are symptomatic? You don't know that you have an addiction or a habit maybe in that deep core of your brain. But how would you know if you do? There would be some symptoms in your life. You're not aware and say, I'm addicted or I have a bad habit. You just know the symptoms of it. So what are some symptoms? Why don't you tell me, what do you think are some symptoms that will prove that you have a habit that is so strong or an addiction? One is, I drive and I don't even think. Something else. Does anybody want to be? Yes. That's pretty hard. That's how tight it is. That is how stuck it is in that core. You know this thing's going to kill you. You know it. But you can't help yourself. You know sugar is your enemy. It's just an easy example. You know what it does if you have a condition that sugar is the enemy. But man, you see that and you just can't. It's right there in that level. You may, okay, anybody else? What are some symptoms? Yeah?
You have a habit and you're a Christian and you're doing something against God, but you know it's wrong, but you keep doing it anyway.
Like what? Give us an example. You're a believer, you're a woman of faith, but you do stuff that you know you shouldn't be doing, but you can't help yourself. It's against God. Like what?
Lie.
You're in a tight spot,
getting mad.
Getting angry.
Frustrated.
Okay. You cuss.
Getting offense.
Taking offense. Gossiping. You know that stuff is coming against you. How many times have you said something and afterwards think, where did that come from? I seriously didn't mean that. But I was so angry in that minute, I couldn't help myself. You know what? If you get in your car, here's the scientific, the non-scientific. When you get in your car and you drive off the campus and you hit the first traffic lights and you're in a hurry because your kid is in the middle of the street waiting for you at school. Mm-hmm. You're in a hurry. Mm-hmm. That light turns red. What are you going to do? You're going to stop? How many of you will stop? You better stop. Yeah. You may kill yourself if you don't stop. You have the power, even though you know the cue that she talked about, the cue is just gripping you, that this is where I usually get mad. That woman, I'm walking in Walmart, she gave me the wrong look, and I'm like, what are you looking at? You know? Like, and I say something. That cue, she just ticked me off, and she needs to be put in her place. That's the cue. The reward. This is what the reward looks like. You walk away, man, did I tell her. Yeah. I gave her a piece of my mind. That feels good. So you have to get from the cue to the reward with a different habit. The woman looks at you the wrong way, you say, smile. Or say something if there are words involved, and walk away and think, boy, that was victory. You know, you need to be reprogrammed. So, and then this is amazing. This, we're going to get into more of these things. The rain falls on the mountains. This is the cue, right? The rain falls. The storms come. You getting angry. People getting on your last nerve. You sit at the TV and the hunger starts, you know. It's 4 o'clock. You've been dieting this morning. Now the rain comes in. And it starts pouring down. It's all these cues that are bombarding your brain. It's like the rain falling. Where's the rain going to go? The rain is going to go where it's gone before. It's going to go least resistance. It's going to go in the crevices, in the lowest places. The water is going to run. That's the same way your brain is. All those cues come, and your brain has neural pathways. It has pathways like those lower places. And when the emotions come, it's going the path of least resistance. So we are here to tell you that with God's help, there is a way to stop the rain from flowing that way. And community helps, like she said, but you're going to recognize it and say, no, I don't want to go down that same path. Then it's much easier to form a habit than to change a habit. Mm. And what we are saying, if you want to change a habit, you have to form a new habit. Mm-hmm. So you have to stop the water from going there and say, no. You function now in your presence, in the outside of the onion, and say, no, I'm going to tell this water to go there, but I've never gone there before. I don't like it, but you are, because I say so. I have willpower, I have community, I have all these things, and make a new pathway for your brain. And when the rain really comes down and it really gets big, you just give in because do you see that pressure? This is what your brain has to deal with. Your brain has to deal with a lot of pressures that come your way. And then on top of that, you have goals that you want to reach, but in the day-to-day life, you don't have victory. So do you know that Olympic athletes, Michael Phelps, Olympic athlete works like that? It's habits. They get up same time in the morning. They eat the same stuff. They practice the same day. They get into those habits. My son is in the Air Force. He wants to fly planes. They teach them how to fold clothes. They underwear. They measure with a measuring stick. And they have discipline. So when they learn how to fly a plane, it's a huge learning curve. And then they do it over and over and over, and they shoot bombs at them and how to divert over and over and over. Because when they're in battle and the situation presents itself, there's no time to think. They cannot do the outer layer. It has to be where the habits and the addictions are, because that's so strong. That is how they keep themselves alive. Did you know that? You die. If you at that point have to make a decision on what to do, you're gone. You're dead. And their body's alive. Do you see how this all is how God has put us together? Yeah. So you have the power in you with the help of God to change, to change the way your brain is going to go and say, no, I'm not going to go the path of least resistance. I'm going to go God's way. So I'm going to hand this out. I want you to have a look. You just pass it along and take one each and you can pass it on. So we're going to look at that because we would like to not just talk. While you do that, here are some things that happen. The power of habit. You go to the movies. What do? You watch the movie, but you also have to have? Popcorn. Okay? You get upset, somebody irritates you. What? Yeah, chocolate. You eat chocolate? Anybody? How about this? You go to the mall. Just listen to this. You go to the mall for clothes shopping or shoes. But you got to have that hot dog before you leave. There's something that stimulates that, because that if there's something where you always stop at Mrs. Fields for a cookie, you have to stop at Mrs. Fields for a cookie. Okay, somebody bumps into you, what do you do? Somebody gets in touch with you in a bad attitude, what do you do? Did everybody get one? When somebody comes into your world with a bad attitude, do you stay calm? Or do you respond on their bad attitude? You don't have to. You don't have to. That's where we're all at. You don't have to. Okay, Friday night, what happens Friday night? You work all week, you go home Friday night, and you what? Come on, tell me. Sit down and drink a beer. Do you know anybody like that? It's Friday night. A lot of people that are those. It's Friday night. Every Friday night I do this, so this is what I'm going to do. So Dr. Vanessa had a good example of that. Okay, so let's look at the handout, and I'm going to give you some scriptures, and we're going to pray over you, and you're going to go home. Do we have one left? Okay. I'm going to ask you to just take a moment, just you. Just forget about everybody next to you. Do you all have pens? List some of your good habits. Don't overthink this. I'm good. List some of your good habits. What are some good habits that you have? Just list five quickly. I brush my teeth every day. Habits. Something that you do every day that's really good. Just write them down quickly. I kiss my kids. I cook a meal. Something that you do every single day that's really good. It's really good to brush your teeth. Really good to take a shower. Take the dog for a walk. Empty the trash. Just anything that you do on a daily basis. Some more ideas? We're in community. Let's help one another. What is it? Just
clean your house.
Clean your... Oh! Oh, that hurt. I don't do that every day. I make my bed every day. Make my bed. Anybody else?
Read my Bible.
Read your Bible. Anybody else?
Pray first
thing.
Feed the pet.
Feed the pet. Yeah. Kiss your husband. Help someone else. These are some good things. Smile every day. Okay, let's go to the bad ones. List some bad habits that you have every day now. Every day.
Eating chocolate.
Something bad you do every day. Yeah, you disorganized. Yeah.
Watch TV.
Yeah.
Sleep in too long.
Sleep too long. Sleep longer than what you want to.
Drink more than two sodas a day.
Ooh, drink more than two sodas a day.
Yeah.
It's a bad habit. Coffee is a good habit, girl.
Yes, it is.
Now we're going to have to stay behind. Class, talk about that.
Yeah.
Too much. Okay, did you list some bad habits? Just list them. Just be honest and serious with yourself. Okay, are you irritated?
Yes.
Are you ticked off?
Not every day.
Some of you are. Ticked off every day. You go to bed ticked off. You get up ticked off. No. Some other bad habits? Gossip?
Play video
games.
Rage? These are some bad habits.
Worry.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Procrastinate. Okay, we've got plenty. Okay, let's continue. This is where my little thing ran out. I do need a copy of that. Do we have a copy? Thank you. Okay. Circle one area. Here are we going to get calm and by yourself with just you and God. Just circle one. Where you need to work on bad habits. You can make up your own. We'll circle one of these. Let's just pick one. Remember what we said. It's amazing. Did you know when you change one little habit, when you block one stream and get a new stream, it's scientifically proven it's easier to do the next. Like a bad habit, you stay home from church one Sunday, the next Sunday, it's easier to stay home. But the same is true when you change into a good habit. One little muscle that you work will help you with other things too. So let's just start small. Circle one. If you don't know which one, take it home to your family and ask them. I want you to, this is not first grade, but I want you to be courageous enough. On the next line, write what you circled. Write a note for yourself. I'm ready to work on, fill it in. You have to have courage for this one. Now remember, we're not going to get on your case. This is between you and God. If you fail, you really have to come back next week. Okay, then I want you to write one very tiny habit you will do every day for the next 7 days till we meet again. Well, I don't care what it is. On a daily basis, let's just see if you can. If you say, I'm going to stand in the mirror and look at myself and say, I love me because God loves me. You're going to go to somebody that you don't say on a daily basis, pick up the phone every day and say, baby, I love you, to a kid or somebody. One or a little thing. You're just going to give me some examples.
Watch my words.
Watch your words. But you have to make it smaller. What are you not going to say? What is the thing that you say every day that you're not going to say? No cussing? Yeah. Just that's big. Maybe you pick one cuss word you're not going to say. We don't want to overwhelm you now, you know? We just pick one word. Just be smaller. Narrow. Don't make it. That's a huge goal. If every day you string them, you know, just cut one. What is something else, a tiny little thing that may be insignificant? I want you to pick something, even if you brush your teeth twice a day, say I'm going to do it three times. Just see if you can. How hard is brush your teeth? I just want you to exercise a habit muscle. Say I'm going to brush my teeth three times a day instead of two times. Write something down. What did you say? You had an example? Patient. Yeah. But I want you, that's a little vague. Do you get me? It's a little vague to say, I'm going to watch my words, so you're going to be patient. I want you to have it. I want you to do something you haven't done before.
Okay.
You know, if we all pick brushing teeth, we could all tell each other next week, okay, how many days did you forget the third time you brush your teeth? Something like, what?
Put things in order. Like when you take something out, put it back in its place.
Oi, pick one thing. See, this is what we do. We make these big goals.
I'll give you an example. Yeah. But this is not my problem right here, but I got other problems elsewhere. When you take your clothes off,
oh, that's good.
Put them on the floor, pick them up.
Okay, that's a big one. Okay, no clothes on the floor. No clothes on the floor is a good one. Or my coffee cup, I'm going to wash it, dry it, and put it back. That's something like that. No. One thing. One little thing that is measurable. Yes? Ooh, okay, go for it. Come tell us next week. Will you tell us if you failed?
I will.
You will. Okay. Okay.
One.
I say one. See, we need help with these things because otherwise we just want to do these things.
Pray.
Yes.
Like every time I wake up.
What is?
Pray.
Shh.
And I've been telling myself that I wouldn't procrastinate. But tell me if this is like soon major. I told myself I would look for scholarships, but every time I go on the internet and start browsing, I always look at heels.
I understand. No. Okay, so listen, everybody. I know. Let's just hear here. She needs to look for something specific on the internet. She gets sidetracked and shop for shoes. So, say I'm going to spend 10 minutes a day on just scholarship sites. Just, and then you do the shoes. How about you?
Just say something nice to somebody.
Oh, that's good. Hey, okay. This is a good one. Listen, this is a good one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say something nice to somebody, doesn't matter who, every day. When I drive through the drive-thru, I'm going to say, wow, your hair is gorgeous, or something like that. Yeah, a compliment. I'm going to compliment at least one person per day. Yes?
I got a good one from you from before.
Yeah? What?
You would say, don't leave the dirty dishes. Wash them up. They only take a few seconds.
That's right.
And that's the one I developed. And I got
good. Isn't it, doesn't feel good? Before. Okay, if you cannot do the dishes, just do the cup. Yeah? That's too wide. Did you hear what she said? She said, be a role model for your kids. Too much. Too much. Too big. A specific thing. Specifics thing. I'm gonna do something. Shh, listen, everybody. It's not about this exercise. I'm sorry to take so much time, but this is what we need. This exercise is not necessarily the thing that you're gonna work on for 6 weeks. I just want you to get the feel of a habit. Mm-hmm. And how many times did you forget out of the 7 times? And what did it take you to do it every day? Candy, you had one? Kill those peanut M&Ms. That's very specific. Okay. You?
I'm going to kiss and hug my daughter every day.
That's good. Kiss and hug your kids every day. What did you say?
I've been trying to...
Listen, shh. Listen, everybody. Listen to her. You what?
I've been trying to stop drinking coffee, and I'm going to do it for 7 days.
Why? Would you want to stop drinking coffee? How many cups
because
do you drink a day? How many
drink
cups?
Too much.
How many cups
like
do you drink?
Cups.
Can you just go to one from three?
Mm-hmm.
Can we give her permission to have one cup?
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yes. Half a cup?
Have one cup. See, this is why we get ourselves in trouble. We have this, we want to show you how your brain is put together, that you do one little thing that you can do successfully and say, wow, I can actually do it. So let's pray.
Okay.
Who needs God this week? Okay. The teachers, let's be an example. What are you going to do, V? You pick something, Teresa?
I did.
What did you?
Okay.
You taught on community.
Yeah, but I'm just
going to
do something small.
Yes, do tiny. Tiny. What is it?
Make my bed every day.
I love that.
Even though I'm going to crawl back in it tonight.
Of course, but it's going to be May. Make your bed every day. Yes, and you? Listen.
I'm going to say something positive to my husband every day, because we've been like shift passing in and in, and all we say is good night.
Okay, so you're going to find him. Vanessa said she's going to say something nice to her husband every day. I don't know what can I do?
Drink coffee.
Ooh. I drink one cup of coffee. I'm not giving that up.
I'm saying, get the behind me.
Yes. What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Really? Okay, since I came up with that, I'll brush my teeth 3 times. I'm going to hate you every time I do. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay, for 7 days, I'll try to brush my teeth 3 times a day. We don't have to carry a toothbrush.
It's that middle one that you'll forget.
I know.
I don't want to try that one. You do the morning and night. That's habit.
Yeah.
Finding that time in the middle
yeah.
of the day.
Or if you do once, do twice. Okay, I'll do... I'll do 3 times. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for how you created us. Thank you for our bodies, are wonderfully and fearfully made. And thank you that you are here to teach us how to be good stewards of the capacities you've given us, Lord. Ask for every one of us going back this week that your Holy Spirit will show us those things that we habitually do that's taking us away from our destiny, our purpose, and our future. So bless every woman in this place. Let your kingdom come, and let your will be done in Jesus' precious name. Amen.